Going to take a little bit of time to understand parables relating to the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. Now, Matthew uses both terms, actually, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And we're going to take a look at Matthew 21. And this one is sometimes mistaken with another parable mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. We're just going to take this one first, and then we will study that on another Sunday. And in Matthew 21, we take a look at what this is all about. Okay? So in Matthew 21, the context is that of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in Jerusalem in fulfillment of prophecies that the king will come, but he will ride on a donkey as he goes in Jerusalem. And that is found in the book of Zechariah. That king was also mentioned in Psalm 118 about how he will come and people will be greeting him and saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So as we take a look at these prophecies, we see them fulfilled. The disciples were glad, but they did not understand fully what it all meant. The general multitude, they also had some understanding, but not a whole lot. But the kingdom of heaven was something not fully comprehended by many. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 17, we see the Lord Jesus coming. And one of the key messages that he constantly taught and preached on was the subject of the kingdom of heaven. And so he proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. In Mark's gospel, the word was repent, believe in the gospel, in Mark 1 and verse 15. And as the Lord Jesus Christ preached about the kingdom of heaven, the best thing that he could have done was to personally actually look into the matter of inviting people into his kingdom. And so he reached out to people. He reached out to Nicodemus as one example. He reached out to the woman of Samaria as another example. And of course, he reached out to his own disciples, the first set of disciples. So there was no question about how the Lord Jesus sought to teach his disciples, to teach people about the reality and the relevance of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now, he did this also through preaching to the crowds. We call that mass evangelism. He would tell the people through parables, through other ways, through other means, he will try to talk to people about the kingdom of heaven. He talked about the kingdom of heaven also through the miracles that he performed. To every single person who was sick, lame, blind, deaf, there would be power from him, power found in the kingdom of heaven given to all those who needed that. And that is something that we need to consider very carefully. Well, a summary of ministry of his is found in John 1. He came to the world, world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But to all who believe in him, they were given the privilege and the right to be called children of God, to be called sons of God, as it were. Now, this term sons of God, or the idea of being children of God, is actually a very common term in the Old Testament. They were called, for example, the children of Israel, or they were called the sons of Abraham. So that was a term that all the Jews were actually quite familiar with. Now, sometimes they're called sons of the covenant or sons of the commandment. For example, when a Jewish boy comes of age, he will pass a test called Bar Mitzvah, where he becomes a son of the commandments. So if it is a daughter, it will be Bat Mitzvah. And the same idea, the person will become a daughter of the covenant. So this idea of sons is actually a very, very common understanding. The problem, of course, is that the word sonship can also be mistaken. And this is something that we want to consider very carefully, right? So as the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, sitting on the foal of an ass, on a donkey, as it were, and as he was acclaimed to be king, well, we understand and appreciate the fact that obviously the Lord's approval was on him, and this was important. The next day, we read, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the temple, and then he cleansed the temple. He chased out the people who were making merchandise out of the things that they were selling. He overturned the money changers' table, and so on and so forth. Well, the chief priests and the elders got together, and then they questioned him. And they raised a question. By what authority do you do these things? We see this in verse 23. The chief priests and the elders confronted him as he was teaching. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? In other words, who gave you the authority to cleanse the temple? Who gave you the authority to make disciples? Who gave you the authority to teach, as it were, in the temple? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was, of course, unafraid, and so he said to them, all right, I will also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The question is, the baptism of John, where was it from? In other words, where was the authority from? Was it from heaven or was it from men? Well, they reasoned among themselves and they were saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? And if we say from men, we fear the multitude, all count John as a prophet. So they answered, we do not know. And so the Lord Jesus Christ turned around and said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So the question is, who is Jesus? The question is, what did he come and do? What was he teaching? Or what was he saying about the kingdom of heaven, among other things that he taught? Well, since they refused to answer him, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to them a parable. And this parable has to be understood very carefully. Okay? Now, this has to be understood in the Jewish context so that you will understand this idea of sonship is not about a born-again believer. It's just simply the idea of sonship as the Jews know what it means to be called sons. Right? So they see themselves as sons of God or sons of Abraham or sons of Israel, or children of Israel, as the phrase may be sometimes used. But think about this thing here. And so he said, well, he's going to give them this parable. Now, this parable, of course, we have to ask ourselves, what are the features? Well, first, the feature is that there was a father. Right? And this father had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. In other words, I do not wish to. But afterward, he regretted it and he went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. I go. But he did not go. which of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. Correctly. So they at least understood this parable. But what is the meaning of this parable? Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Okay? So first and foremost, the focus is the kingdom of God. Now, did Matthew use the idea of the kingdom of God? Yes. But very commonly, he would often say and call it the kingdom of heaven, which is the same idea, the kingdom of heaven of the kingdom of God. Now, this is something we need to take a look at very carefully. So the focus is obviously, the first lesson is about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now, they are both called sons. Historically, traditionally, it's part of the story. But they are not sons of God by way of faith. This is not the meaning of it all. So don't use the phrase sons as if it's a description of a believer. It's not. It's just a historical, traditional, general word that is used to describe simply the Jew who calls himself a son of God or a child of God, but which may not be the case. Now, then there is the tax collector and the harlots. Right? The tax collectors and the harlots were the people who, if God tells them, don't do bad things, they will do it. The Lord tells them, don't sin, they will. And so, general understanding of the Pharisees and other people, the tax collectors, the harlots, are the people who don't do God's will. And, you know, there is room for possibility of regret, of remorse, and of repentance. So they can regret that they have sinned. They can come back to God. And that is the idea of the first son. So the first son was the one who refused to, but then repented, and then came back and did what the father wanted him to do. And so the Lord said to the people, the tax collectors and the harlots are like that. You see, they were wrong. He's not condoning their wrong actions. He's not endorsing them in any way at any time. But he's saying to them, they enter the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, before you. You would imagine that the people who will enter into the kingdom of God would be religious people, good people, people who are like the scribes and the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests. But the reality of it all, it is not the case. So then the Lord Jesus Christ brought in the idea of John. John came to you. And how did John come to you? He came in the way of righteousness. In other words, he lived righteously, he preached about righteousness, he talked to you all about what it means to prepare the way of the Lord for his coming. And so he taught the way of righteousness. The problem is you did not believe him. Well, in John chapter 1, for example, we read this. Let's turn to John chapter 1 and we'll see how the chief priests and the elders sent people. Right? So there we go. Let's take a look at this here. Right? Verse 19. The Jews sent priests and Levite. The word the Jews in the John's gospel is a reference to the chief priests, to the elders, and the people who ruled Jerusalem. Basically, so they were called the Jews. So what did they do? They sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him. They didn't come themselves, they just sent their men. Who are you? Well, John confessed and he said, he did not deny, he confessed, I am not the Christ. So they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And they said, nope, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he said, no. Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And so he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. And those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not a Christ, nor Elijah, nor a prophet? And so John said, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. Now, did the scribes and the Pharisees, the elders, find out about Jesus? They did. They sent Levites. They sent priests to us. They wanted to know who John was. They wanted to know what his message was. They wanted to know what his authority was. Well, they knew John's life. They must have examined what he said, what he taught, his life. And the problem is that they did not believe him. Right? So we go back to Matthew 21. John came to you, verse 32. You did not believe him. That is the problem. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. That is the challenge of it all. See, the issue ultimately is a question of what they believe in, what they really understand. You did not believe him. Who are the people? The chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, you know, you name them. They heard John's message. John preached a message of repentance from sin, but they did not repent at all. Who are the ones who believe? Now, interestingly, the people who believe are the harlots and the tax collectors. And the Lord said, they will enter into the kingdom of God first. Now, it doesn't mean that the scribes and the Pharisees cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But they will have to enter in exactly the same way as everybody else. There isn't a special channel for them. They will have to be repentant. They have to repent from their sins, turn away from their wrong, wicked ways, and then believe in the gospel and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they believe? The answer is no. Well, this is important. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. See, so this parable was told, and this was absolutely important. It had to be said. It has to do with the kingdom of heaven. Well, the Jews had their own idea of what it means to enter into heaven. They thought that if they kept the law, they thought that if they were to try to be as good as they are, fast twice a week, give the tithes and offering, pray each day, every day, and so on and so forth, they are already into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that is not true. Nicodemus was one Pharisee who came to Jesus, and Jesus told him what it would take to actually and see the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you must be born again. This story is told in John 3. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born of the Spirit. These were lessons that none of the scribes and the Pharisees knew about. If Nicodemus, that very, very respected teacher of Israel, did not know these things, the others would have even less of a clue as to what this means at all. And this is absolutely important. And so there were two sons. They were called sons, not because they were sons of God, but they were called sons because this was a traditional idea of understanding what it means to be a Jew. You are called a son, as it were, a son of Abraham, one of the children of Israel, as it were, a son of God. But it does not mean that you were actually saved. It does not mean you have entered into the kingdom of heaven. See, Canaan was like that. Canaan represented more than just the land. Abraham understood it. And so he looked for a city that was not made by man. It was a city of God. And so he did not do anything more than live in tents, because he was looking for something more permanent. So Canaan, unfortunately, became the lasting place for the people of Israel, the children of Israel. They saw it as the end place. The Lord had taken them out of Egypt to place them in the land of Canaan, and Canaan was the last stop. But that was an incorrect understanding. Canaan was not the last stop. Canaan was to represent the spiritual Canaan, to represent the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, but which the Jews, unfortunately, actually never fully understood. And so they began to develop a theology, a religion made up of doing good, shunning evil, and all those things are actually good things to have. But those good things to have will not result in going into heaven. This was something that they failed to understand. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to tell them who would be going into heaven. Right? Going to heaven, can a harlot enter into heaven? Yes. Can a tax collector enter into heaven? Yes. On what basis? The basis is simply repentance and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, and then being born again of the Spirit. And because of that, they will be able to see the kingdom of heaven. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests, they had all the resources. They had all the facts before them. They had seen tax collectors and harlots and all the people they considered sinful change their life. See how they turn away from sin. They had all those things going for them. But they themselves did not believe. They believe in themselves, not in Jesus. They believe in their good works, not faith in God. They believe in justifying themselves, but not a justification that came from God. And so this story, this parable of the two sons had to be told so that they can understand it a little bit better. So, and they knew the story. They understood. The person, the son that actually obeyed the will of the father, that was the son. And unfortunately, although there was a theoretical understanding, an academic understanding, the reality was that they did not understand fully what it was all about. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to bring this story up, this parable up. Now, you could imagine, here was the triumphal entry. Thousands of people flocked the streets, acclaiming him to be the one who came in the name of the Lord. The prophecies concerning his entrance into Jerusalem was fulfilled. He sat on a donkey, the foal of an ass, and the people cried out. All these things were in fulfillment of the scriptures. But though the Jews, though the scribes and the Pharisees prided themselves in the knowledge of the scriptures, they failed to connect. They failed to find faith in the Lord Jesus. All they were concerned about was that Jesus disrupted their profit-making enterprises, that Jesus stopped them from having stalls in the temple of heaven, temple of God in Jerusalem. This was a means of making money for the people who were there, the stallholders, the people who owned the stalls, the people who owned the animals, the money changers, and all these things were actually run by the group of people we call the Jews. And these were the religious leaders. They were plain not interested in the Lord Jesus and his message. They were not interested in the kingdom of heaven. They were interested in the kingdom on this earth. They were interested in the things which they considered important. And those things were things material, things physical, unrighteous mammon, money, in other words. and the invitation fell on deaf ears. So that today we must ask ourselves the same question. Is there a danger for us too? We grow up in a church, we have Christian parents, we have got Christian friends. The question is whether we personally have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God offers us an invitation to believe in the Lord Jesus so that we may become children of God, true children of God, not just children of Christian parents. But what is the way to salvation? And it is important for us to understand what that is. Now, again here, we must go back to the basics of the gospel story. One, everyone is invited. Remember Mark 1:15, when Mark wrote and he said, first, the Lord Jesus Christ preached about repentance. Repentance is when we recognize our sinfulness. We recognize how sinful we are before God, and we hate our sins. What would God do when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? He will cleanse, He will forgive. He is our atonement. But we have to ask ourselves whether we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as we say we do. Do we really believe in the Lord Jesus? And this is important. You see, because if we do not really believe, and that true belief will be expressed in our desire to follow the Lord as a believer and as a disciple. But if we have none of these things here, we may be in a Sunday school, we may be in a good church, we may belong to a good Christian family, but we would be just like the children of Israel in days of old. We will be called sons in a general, traditional, historical way, but we actually do not know the Lord Jesus Christ at all as our Savior. What are the reasons for us to believe in? And the reasons are many. Let me once again share this with you. The Lord Jesus Christ came that He may offer forgiveness of sins. We don't have to be committing gross sins. We don't have to be among those who are greatly wicked or evil. But the sins in our life are obvious and they must be recognized and be repented of. Thank God there is forgiveness of sins. And once we have that forgiveness of sins, we have automatically the next part of it. We are given salvation. And salvation means that we are able to enter into the kingdom of God, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not when we die, but right now, we enter into His kingdom as of the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What then do we have? What's our status next? The status is that of sonship. We are now considered the children of God, not in the traditional way, but truly. God regards us as sons, regards us as His children from that moment onwards. So what then do we look forward to? Well, God begins a work of restoration. God begins to put right the things which are wrong in our lives. God begins to help us to grow. He begins to help us to put on the image of God that was lost because of sin. And as we take a look at these things here, we begin to realize that then will come what we call the blessings of God. God will be there to guide us. The Spirit of God will be inside us. How wonderful it is to understand what it means to be true sons. So the danger is that we only have the idea of a traditional sonship concept. So are we sons in that sense? Yes, because we are sons of Christian parents, and we are sons in a very general sense of the word. We are created by God. But there is another sense of sonship that must be treasured, that must be understood and appreciated. And that sonship is through repentance, through faith in the Lord Jesus, and we are born again of the Spirit of God. And this is a special work of God from above, from the Spirit of God, so that we can become the true children of God as we were meant to be. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to bring us this wonderful message of salvation. And this is a message that we should keep close to our heart, that we should really treasure with everything that we have. Thank God for salvation and His promises. Thank God for all the things that are given to us and that are promised to us further. And it all begins with repentance, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then from then onwards, it is growing to be that Son of God who will understand His will and do it. Who is that real Son of God? It is not one called by name, but He is one who is truly God's Son because He obeys the Lord. He takes the work of God, the will of God seriously and will seek to obey. This is something that we want to thank God for and to treasure. May we treasure what it means to be invited to become a member of the kingdom of heaven. May our joy in the Lord become even more real because we are born again through the Spirit of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. We thank You that through repentance, through faith in our Savior, we can be born again and we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Father, we confess our sins and we just acknowledge and recognize and treasure the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Help us to truly receive Him into our hearts and then seek to understand Your will and to perform that will as good children of Yours. We pray for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.